little bit about that. We want to share it. And anyway, come on up, please.
Thanks, Brian.
It was windy. It was a windy afternoon.
I remember.
You remember too? We sent it up your way after we were done with it.
I wish you guys had just kept it.
Florida?
Oh, yeah.
It was?
Yeah. Well, we went to, I'll just give you this little quick blip. We went to, we had just moved into a new home, and we had sold a house, a home, and then we bought a manufactured home in a community, senior community. And so, we, in the back of our mind, we always thought about hurricanes, you know. So, anyway, here it comes. And Judy's saying, Dave, we're going to have to go to shelter. We're going to have to go to shelter. I said, no way. We can, yeah, we can do this, tough this out. And, you know, and she says, we've got to go. And she's literally unhappy with me. You know? So, anyway, off we go. I mean, we're there, and then the morning, the night before, it says the winds are going to be 110 miles an hour. And I looked at her and I said, we got to go to that shelter. So, not only did we have to go, we were the third person there early in the morning. She had it all packed and ready to go. I didn't know she had done that. So, but it was very, very interesting in the shelter. There was many people. We came with a blanket laid on the floor and four boxes of what I thought was valuable stuff. and some water and some food. We had no idea what else was going to happen. But we're sitting there. We got really nice. We were over up against the wall like this. We could see everybody coming in. And they're coming in with, you can't believe how much stuff they've got. They're out there, they're pumping up their air beds that are 3 feet high. You know, they get all this stuff. They even bring, you know, armchairs and all. They get all kinds of stuff. Recliners. Seriously, they're coming in with this stuff. And the National Guard is there to take care of them all. And, you know, get them in there and set up. And then, so we're looking around. We met some very nice people, had a lot of time to talk scriptures with people. I thought it was fantastic, a fantastic experience. And then we came home. We had no idea. We thought that, you know, the trailer was gone. Two little screws had fallen out of one of the things and been laying on the ground when we got there. I put them back in. Everything's good. But down below us in the community that we had, there's 1,100 and some odd homes in there. Oak trees abound. And they came down. They lifted up parts of these homes, and the air conditioner was hanging off the tree. And oh, it was something else. But we made it. It worked out. And nobody really got hurt. You know, it was not that much in the rain.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Yeah, praise the Lord is right. And we were praying all the time. I'll tell you that much. Oh, it's fun. Well, anyway, thank you. I give a little word of prayer here regarding the scriptures. Father, we're just so thankful to be here this afternoon. We just praise you for all these wonderful people that are here. I counted, and I think I have it right. Check me out, Lord, because you know I'm not that good with math anymore. I think there was 13 men and 12 women, so I think we're still ahead in the game. And I think we appreciate that, but I think the girls know more about it than we do. So anyway, we'll find out. In Christ's precious name we pray, and please bring the wonderful effects of your word to this class and let them know and feel and believe in the scriptures rightly divided. Christ's precious name, amen, we pray.
Amen.
Anyway, I'm just going to give a little bit of opening consideration here of just how this talk would start. Basically, I'll just give you a background. I told Ronnie before, talked to Ronnie, I teach a class in an old community we used to live in, and it's a class of babes and down. There's a class of babes. And they're in a community where we used to live, and they all have various Bibles. And I'm not getting all the newer Bibles that said, you know, they're like three-letter words and stuff like that. I mean, there's just not much to them at all. They're just, there's not much. So I try to always talk about the King James Companion Bible. The Companion Bible, its notes, its appendix, and it's just great. But the old King James versions, I feel all quite familiar with that, and I'm sure I'll find that most everybody in here has that in this class. Denominations, we can talk about denominations. That was part of what we went with when we had this class at where we are. We were teaching, we had Catholics, we had Baptists, we had Lutherans, we had Methodists, which is really interesting because they all don't agree. But to a man or to a woman in that class, yeah, we're in the unity of the faith. You know, they're right on top of it, the unity of the Spirit. We're right there. But and we keep going after them with the mystery. And Judy, bless her heart, she'll open up with scriptures. So the Paul book, she talks scriptures. And so she's talking to them, and she's giving them out of Paul's writings, out of that, and talking Acts 28 and the mystery, 28 and the mystery. And you can just see their eyes glaze over. You know, her and I are flipping the pages trying to find the verses up, and they're just looking at us because they don't know what's going on. And so it's tough. And I think, Ronnie, I think you teach a Baptist class or something like that.
Did.
Okay.
Still ain't figured out what was going on.
Okay. I think that's coming for me, too. But anyway, I wanted to make that clear about the denominations and the Bible changes and the errors that come into that. I just want to make sure that we all understand, and the focus is, you can't simplify God's Word. You can't make it easy. It's tough. You're digging for treasure. You're going down for the most important stuff that you can ever dig out of any book in your entire life. And after all, as we read from what Welch has this, Welch, it's the written Word of God. We need to go for it. So these things right here are important beyond belief for us all. And I just hope that you all take the time to have a great understanding of the scriptures in your own way and in your own time. Anyway, Barney, we go to the next one. I'm going to go to a topic I'm considering. Woman. A study for consideration. It's kind of funny because, I just counted the class, and I think there's 12 women and 13 men. Well, I'll give you some figures as we go along in a little while. But there are many references to women in the scriptures, and one of them, of course, is, and I'll bring that up a little bit, is G, one of them is, excuse me, H2, excuse me, I'm going to mess that up right after that, G444. I considered that verse and thought provocative. It called their names Adam. Their name Adam. And this is in Genesis 5:2. Can you maybe flip the next one here? And so I thought, this is what really got me going on this. And I thought, what about the women in the Bible? You know? I mean, we know about all the references to the men. So I thought I'd ask a few questions. How many references to Eve, to the name Eve, are in the Bible? Does anybody have an idea of what that might be? There's four. There are two in Genesis, and there are two. One of them is in Timothy, and one of them is in. And we'll get to that in a second too. Obviously, you'll see them in 1 Corinthians. And how many references to women in Genesis 1:1 to 11:26? Do you get to the generations of Terah? We have a total of five. We have Eve. Let me get my notes straight here. I always do this in my notes. Let's go to the next verse. And we're going to consider the usage of woman, women, wife, wives, wives, and female. The name of Eve is used two times in the book of Genesis. Genesis 1:1 to 11:26. The name of Ada is used three times. One of Lamech, Cain's son. Lamech is the same name as another person that was of Seth's son. Shem's son, I mean. And he had two wives. He was the first polygamist that came across in the Bible. The name of Zillah was used three times. She was the other wife of
Lamech. The wife of Naamah, used once, was the sister of Tubal-Cain, Lamech's granddaughter. Those are the entire number of verses that have women's name in them in the first 1,946 years in the Companion Bible Scriptures. Not much in the way of mentions there. Can we go to the next one? Using the Companion Bible dates, 1946 years, Bible dates, it appears there's only four name references to women in Genesis 1:1 to 1:26. This covered the generations, and if you all know, if you know about the beginning of the book, from page one of the Companion Bible, it tells about the 14 generations that are in the Bible, going from the generation of heavens and earth, generations of Adam, the generations of so on down the line, and the final one is the generations of Jesus Christ. This covered the generations of the heavens and the earth, Adam, Noah, the sons of Noah, and Shem. Those five generations, or six generations, were covered by those dates, by those number of women. In Genesis 11:27 to Genesis 11:32, which is a little blip on Genesis 11, going into the generations of Terah, we find the names of Sarai and Milcah. They first appear. Sarai was Abram's wife. She was barren. She had no child at that point. Milcah was the daughter of Haran. Milcah was the mother of Iscah. Milcah and Iscah were never heard from again. Haran is Abram's brother, and his son married Milcah. So that was the granddaughter. She was the granddaughter of Haran. And he was also the one that was the father of Lot. Go to the next one. If it'll go there. Next verse? No? No action? Oh, here we go. Consider some numbers in the entire Bible. We have man, 2,426 verses. Men, 1,512. Male, 45. Males, 32. Husband, 108. And husbands, 19 verses. It's a total of 4,142 verses. I didn't count those individually. I just like to be wrong, even. So that's the number of verses in the entire Bible of the relationship of these five topics of man. The next verse. Women. There's 339 verses of woman. Women are 170 verses. Female, 23. Females, 0. Wife, 370 verses. Wives, 122 verses. And wives, 11 verses. A total of 1,035 verses. 4 times 1,035 is just two numbers less than the number of men. So it's like 4,000, it's 1,035. So about 25% of the names that are mentioned of men, women, and so on is 25% women. Maybe the next one, Marty. A few more numbers to consider. Genesis 6:18. But with thee I will establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. Genesis 6:19. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark. To keep them alive with thee, they shall be male and female. We have, as we went through, as we go through the ark and it becomes into trying to find itself, its way to land, in Genesis 8:7, and he sent forth a raven which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. To and fro is not used very many times in the scriptures. Genesis 8:7, and also a raven is an unclean bird. There were only a male and a female of that bird on the ship. Now, I don't know, it doesn't say in the scriptures anywhere if there was other birds being born as we were going along in that time in the ship. It's hard to say in the ark. But there may have been. So, it would consider, it went forth to and fro, the raven. I'm assuming it came back. I can't prove it. I can't be sure about it. All I can say is that I compared it with a couple other verses, and I consider Amos 8:12, and they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. Now, this is Israel, Amos. And I kind of compare this to a type of Israel, in a way, to the raven, in that even though they were there to be part of the program, they really didn't get it put together. And this is Israel, a chosen people, chosen by God, a peculiar people. And they just didn't seem to get it all the way through as we go through the scriptures. Now, the question on the raven, there were only two of the unclean birds who were on the ark. I'm going to relate to you the class I teach in Florida just a little bit again. I don't know. I'm going to have some questions if we go to the next slide, Barney. Well, that's okay. We'll come back to that. But this is to and fro. I'll go on with this. I'll keep this to and fro. There are four verses in Zechariah using to and fro. These verses relate to Israel in the future. Zechariah 1:10, 11, plus Zechariah 4:10, and Zechariah 6:7. This would be a good study. I'm not going to go into it, but it relates specifically to Israel in the future and their relationship. And the word to and fro are used in those four verses. The last mention of to and fro is more familiar, and it is the last mention of to and fro in the scriptures in Ephesians. Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and are carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. This is a warning from Paul. And I just want to bring up a little bit about the some of the teaching had to do with the ark. Maybe went past a little bit, but I want to make this point. The class I teach in Florida, I just want to ask one question. If anybody in here has ever been to the ark in Kentucky?
Where?
In Kentucky, where they have the ark, they've rebuilt the ark. Yeah, it's harder to find it though than this one. But it is there, and I just want to ask the question: what do you think? I mean, I think, remember, Ronnie, I heard you say that you had been there, and I think I brought up at that time that there were the class that I teach. They thought that the dinosaurs were in there, and I think actually there were dinosaurs in that park as a display. And if I remember correctly, there are Tyrannosaurus Rex and Raptors, meat-eating dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Of course, we know in this class, because we all know these things in total, that they were vegetarians until the ark landed on Ararat. So there were no meat-eating characters or critters on that ship.
And I begin to tell you how many times I've talked Cataboli and how many times I've talked Tohu and Bohu with the class and went through all that and take them to the verses in Isaiah. And it just boggles your mind. And I know you've all had that same feeling and that same truth in your hearts and minds that you you think you're coming at them with simple data and simple stuff, and their eyes of understanding just will not open. They will just not see the truths of these scriptures. What a blessing every one of you all here today have by being a member of the mystery, which is his body, which is his, the mystery body, I'm sorry. The class is kind of funny. But I believe that that raven did return. I mean, I think I believe it. I mean, I can't prove it. I can't say for sure. And the to and fro has a lot of meaning and a lot of other things here, too. Now, many of our position have studied, traveled, used, and evangelized. Evangelized in the King James Version, there is no evangelized mention in the King James Version. Evangelizes, there's no mention of evangelizes in the King James Version. Evangelized, no mention. Evangelist, it is mentioned. It's mentioned in Ephesians. And why is that mentioned? You might need to go to the next verse. I think it's the next one. Yeah. So Ephesians 4:11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. The two words for evangelists that are used in the scriptures there's one, and then there's another one, and I think it's in. There are three references, and one reference is with Philip in the book of Acts, and his four daughters who prophesied, and Paul and tarried there with them with Philip at his house in the book of Acts, and with the four daughters that prophesied. So the daughters were there. They were prophesying, and it didn't say what they were prophesying. And there were four virgin daughters that did prophecy. Since prophets are mentioned in one Ephesian verse, evangelists must be different, as we have it here. Evangelist is over there. And why is that? Because in our position, when we come into Ephesians at the very beginning, we have saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. The saints are just, I think, just coming out of the graft-in groups and the Israelites that also had accepted their Messiah, coming in, and the faithful ones were the ones that were really caught on fast, and they were teaching them. Because we have that in Timothy about teach faithful men that they might teach others also. So I think we find that the evangelist is something special to us. And the reason why it would have to be evangelist, there were no churches on every street corner. There was nothing. They were using synagogues, and the women even had a court for the women in the synagogues, and the Gentiles had to hang out on the outside as well. So it never really got on to where they were anything other than still not one new man. They were not of twain one new man in Ephesians. They were in Ephesians, they became that in Ephesians, but they were not that way then. So Philip, being an evangelist, as it says, he was an evangelist. He was moved around by the Spirit, and he met with the Ethiopian guy reading the book of Isaiah on the road, and he had to work with him, and he had to show him how to do that, and then he was translated someplace additional, other place. Strong's related. Evangelist as preaching. That's the word that Strong would use in his definition of evangelist.
So possibly there's something about that. But we also have pastors and teachers. Pastors are preaching. So I don't. There is a specialty there. I don't know if I can dig it out. I don't know if I can come up with it in total. But as any believer, new or old, could have his or her eyes of understanding open, as a mystery position believer, we would be responsible to teach the babe or grafted in one coming out of that. Because the grafting in stopped at Acts 28:28. It does not continue. Israel's roots set aside. There's no grafting into that root. It's gone. Be responsible to teach the babe or grafted one or egotistical Christendom member. We will be led and we should follow. When I say egotistical, I don't mean that, but I mean, you know how you get into a position where you're talking to somebody and you're mentioning the graft in, and they, well, I'm grafted in. Well, you know, maybe you want to think about this, and then they go out in a huff, out the door. I mean, they're gonna do it their own way. And I see this as well in Ezekiel, which we can go to the next slide up for that. This is more of that, of the toss and fro, to and fro. This is Paul's no more children, we should not be tossed to and fro. This is the other verse. And carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, where lie their light and weight to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. I can't begin to even explain the total thought of this whole position we enjoy in the mystery, that we are hid. God had that in Colossians 1:26, hid that from ages and generations, and now revealed the secret that he held, and it's now for us has been revealed, and for some reason we all have grabbed a piece of it, and we've been given that gift, and it's just so amazing, and we should be busy 24 hours a day taking care of this, and it just seems like, no matter how much you think you're really digging into the scriptures, you are still fighting the world day by day by day by day. Let's go to the next verse. Yeah, this is where Philip, this is where Philip the evangelist was there, and which was one of the seven that were chosen by the 12 apostles at the beginning, to kind of take care of stuff, like take care of, almost like take care of the restaurant type of thing, so they could do their part of the business. Well, Philip and Barsabas, the two of them had a little part to play. Philip was more important than the other one. And Ephesians 1:11, and this is where he gave evangelists here, and this is 2 Timothy 4:5, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, making full proof of thy ministry. So this is what we're to do. We're to teach individuals. We're to teach people. We're not, I mean, great if we have a class, if we have a group that will come and listen to the message, but it's kind of like done one by one by one by one. I mean, we're not, you know, and they come along, and if they're interested in the word, you know, you have the feeling they're, well, I want to look at that. I want to understand that. Well, that's interesting. Let's dig into that. And most people will say, oh, well, you know, that's kind of hard. I don't want to dig into that too much. Or they just slip it aside. So you know when you're talking what's going on, and you just keep going. We are evangelists, in my mind. Next. Compare with Ezekiel as one example. Ezekiel 3:1, moreover he said unto me, son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. This roll is the tablet. The
It's the parchment.
So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was my mouth as honey for sweetness. The next. Moving forward to chapter 3, and it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, Thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Ezekiel was responsible. Direct commandment, a direct order from him. You tell him, or you bear the weight.
Amen.
Let's go to the next screen. Yet, if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul. Ezekiel 3:20, again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, this is the Lord speaking, he shall die because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness,
bingo,
which he had done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand. In Ezekiel 3:21, nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned, and also thou hast delivered thy soul. Basically, what this is saying, as I mentioned a minute ago, Ezekiel was responsible to do this. If he didn't do it, he was going to be punished. Greatly. We have a message that even goes beyond what he is doing. Here, I wouldn't want to say it's beyond. It's part of scriptures at that time. These are the scriptures of today. We have that same message to go forth and teach men and evangelize. So these are the things that we can pick up throughout the scriptures. I mean, the truth of the Bible from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, it's literal and it's perfect. And it's studyable and it's full of gold. And the next. Paul, I have wanted to make a point here in Ephesians and Colossians. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. 1:2, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the opening salvo of the book of Ephesians, the first one he wrote. Now we step down into Colossians 1:1, virtually the same message. It is the same message. Now he's got Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother. Timothy now is with him in this regard, and that means that now Timothy has stepped into moving forward to be the next set of shoes to go out on the streets. Because Timothy wrote the last book of what was written by Paul was 2 Timothy, and he was explaining to him everything he should do. We have the same marching order to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the Paul's partial portion of the prayer in Ephesians 1:15 to 17. The prayer is longer than this, but Ephesians 1:15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. 160, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And he's talking to these saints. Paul would be considered, I would think, at that point, a faithful one. Of course, he's also an apostle. He's been converted to this new apostleship, not like the 12, of this whole new program to be able to teach faithful men, that they would go out and they would have these additional powers. You don't go digging back into the book of 2 Corinthians and looking at chapter 12 and picking up the gifts and trying to float them into the book of Ephesians. It's not going to fit. They don't work there. But basic Christendom does have that happen. They think those gifts are in place today, and it just boggles the mind that they don't see the beauty and the strengths of these things. Moving on, one more. Paul and Timothy in this one, in Colossians, are now praying for the saints. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So it went from I in Ephesians to we in Colossians. Not a big break. I mean, it's not me. It's the same message. It's just we have a new player who was brought into it as an assistant. And probably more, because we pretty much know that Luke spent most of his time here with Paul. But not while he was in prison, most likely. I mean, that would be the case. And there, I'll talk about the women in Paul's 14 epistles. In Philippians 4:3, we have this term, those women. Those women. It talks about some men and those women. Philippians 4:3. That brings into a whole category of women who probably most likely have names that's just not mentioned here. We also know about the wife of Aquila, Prissa or Priscilla. We know about Lois, which is Timothy's grandmother. We know about Eunice, which is Timothy's mother. Apphia possibly is Philemon's wife. There's no way to really tell it, but possibly that's true. Claudia is possibly Pudens' wife. And Sarah and Rahab are mentioned in the 14 epistles of Paul, in Hebrews 11. That's the mention of the names. And they're fleshed out more than this. They're more than just me saying it. There's other references. But I guess my point here, well, I won't make the point just yet. Let's move forward again to one more.
That's the end.
That was it? Cool. Let's not go home. I'm just kidding. I wouldn't be one man in here that wouldn't say that his wife has not come to him and said, well, you kind of got that wrong. You better get that verse and study that a little harder. And they come right at you, and they have information and they have details. I can speak for myself. I get it continually. I don't know about anybody else, but I do. And I believe that my wife studies that Bible, as do I. She seems to come up with these little kickers, you know, that just drop you right down on your knees, say, please forgive me, honey, I'm sorry. Women have a way of doing things that men do not have a way of doing. Men look over the top, over the big picture, and women are into the details. And that is a strength that gives all of us the ability to move forward and to do all these jobs that we need to do. And we as men appreciate the women and love them. And sometimes we're nice to them. We take them out for dinner once in a while. But not really. I mean, I just want to say, this
I probably didn't handle it all that well, but I just want to say that I thought, when I looked at this, I thought about it, it really kind of struck me that there was much to be said on the behalf of women. And then I did look up that one verse, the Strong's Concordance earlier, about the one which I couldn't find, but I think I got here. Apophros is the name. I'm going by memory. Apophros is the Greek word that has to do with human beings. And it also deals with man. I wish I had that in my head, but I don't have it here. But it has to do with man. You know, man as a husband in chapter 6 of Ephesians uses the word aner, A-N-E-R, and it's truly a man. It is not Christ the bride. it's not Christ the husband. It's the bride. We are not, in Ephesians, we are not the bride of Christ. But and that word kind of seems to take it out. But women also are in that category. And men, I think, is a generic term. And we find that in the beginning where when God called their name Adam, in the scripture, and they were one flesh, and their name was Adam. As soon as I find that verse, I'll give it to you. But it's in Ephesians. It's in Genesis. And I'm not going to see it. I can look. My wife will tell me I can look right at stuff and not see it. So that's the way it goes. But it is here. So I, for one, wanted to come to this class and thank the women. And by the way, the mystery body is much different than the verses throughout the whole scripture of women and men. We're almost tied with the number of people that are here. And I thought when I first counted it was 12 women and 12 men. I thought that'd be interesting. 12, 12 here, 12 there. That'd be pretty interesting. But it was one extra. There are, I also did do the some work, but I didn't do a screen on that. And it had to do with all the people that were in his 14 books, all the men that were in the 14 books there, and the ones that departed him, Demas, and all that, and all the different names and things that they had done. And there's quite a list of them. I won't go through them, but it is kind of interesting to know that. It's a list about that long from the names that the men that are in there. Hebrews, of course, is we have David, Melchizedek, Abram, Levi, Aaron, shoots back to the past. They're just quoting from the past. They weren't there, obviously, but their names are in there. And also Sarah and Rahab. And I think I've heard Wayne Stewart say, don't tell him I said this, this is the do and this is the done. Do this lesson and then it's done. What you've done is done. So I thank you for listening and I hope it gave you some thoughts to think of. Because there's so much in there. In this book, rightly divided, that it's the most beautiful book in the world.
Amen.
Father, we thank you so much for this time together in your word, and we just praise you for everything that you've brought to us. What a blessing we have as those that are occupying, seated at your right hand, a position in heavenly places far above all. We have no imagination or thought or conception of the perfection and the grace and the beauty of that place. We can only know and believe, and with our hope of our calling, that we are coming to see you in a resurrected form at some time, at the time and season that is your choosing. We just are so thankful for the word and the gift that we have received and the acknowledgement and the work that we can offer as a servant or a bondslave to you for the price you paid for us. We just praise you, and we also give testimony to the principalities, powers, mights, and dominions that we would give, they could see that you are made manifest by what we do, this mystery people do. What a benefit and a blessing we offer to them to see that when God the Father and God the Son are watching, that it will happen and they will still follow through with all this. Someday Israel, of course, will be back in their prophetic plan. It may be soon, maybe long. There are many different people, even in our own position, that try to come up with dates, and I have a hard time figuring out what a date really should be. But I think we're coming closer. Amen to the great. Amen. Bless you, my Father, in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank you.